With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
God has a divine present to assist you throughout life, for effectiveness in life, for joy in life, for energy in life, for productivity in life. It blesses you, it blesses your family. One of the great keys to simplicity in life is this gift that God designed for you. And yet, this may be the most neglected gift that has ever been given.
Welcome, and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message entitled Simplicity Factor Number 4, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life. We continue in our series, The Simplicity of the Christian Life. The Israelites in the Old Testament era observed the Sabbath as a holy day of rest. The early church carried the principle of weekly Sabbath rest over to the first day of the week, gathering together to worship the Lord, break bread, and enjoy Christian fellowship. Much of the modern evangelical church, however, has devalued and de-emphasized the importance of weekly Sabbath rest. Do you understand the sanctity and significance of the Sabbath for your life today? Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, Simplicity Factor Number 4, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life.
What if I told you that God had designed a very specific gift for you? God Himself designed it. He ordained it. He even took the time to bless it before He would give it to you. That this gift is precious. This gift, while it seemingly takes something from you, actually gives you more than you can imagine. What if I were to say to you, one of the great keys to simplicity in life is this gift that God personally designed for you. It blesses you, it blesses your family, that God has a divine present to assist you throughout life, for effectiveness in life, for joy in life, for energy in life, for productivity in life. And yet, I would also tell you that this may be the most neglected gift that has ever been given. In fact, we almost see it burdensome instead of a divine gift. Now, Harry, what would that gift be? Well, let me just again tell you that I believe this series is important for us. I've got one more sermon in it. Helps for the hyper-addictive family. Helps for the hyper-addictive family. Helps for the family who is absolutely hyperactive. But before I get to the helps and the hints, I want to put one more foundational principle in place. Now, we have covered four. First of all, we said this is an important part of our life. Every single one of us here, just about, are entirely too busy. Not because it's not good to have a full life, but because we have too much life at the end of the month. We have too much that we try to squeeze in, and that we actually are living not the life that God has designed, for where the Spirit of God is, there is decency and order. Jesus was never harried. Jesus was never hurried. Jesus went straightway. He had purpose. He was effective. He did everything that He was to do. But in fact, Jesus' life was one of focus and alignment, not confusion, not chaos. So here's what we have said, three principles. Let me just remind you of them. We've just tried to review this very briefly now. The principle number one is simplicity is biblical. This one thing I do, this one thing I seek, that singularity of life is throughout the Bible. The second thing that we noted is simplicity is the answer to complexity. The answer to complexity is not efficiency, but simplicity. It's not just to be able to juggle more balls. It is to know which balls I ought not to be juggling at all, which plates I ought not to be spinning at all. When I was a kid growing up, there was a program on television called Ed Sullivan. And if we got home from church on Sunday night in time, we might catch the end of it. And it was amazing how many times he would have some guy on there that had a table, and the guy was spinning plates on a stick, and everyone was amazed at how many he could spin on that stick. And he would keep them all going, and he'd be running back and forth, spinning them and spinning them and spinning them and spinning them. Many of us have got that kind of life, and we get a rush from it. And the more plates we spin, the more we think we're important. When in reality, people with effective lives, it's not how many plates they spin, it's what plates they know they don't have to spend and shouldn't be spending. But you can't say no till you get a bigger yes, and big yeses come from the Bible, where the Bible tells us what are the big yeses in life. Then we're able to say no. Now, so we said, all right, let's put some yeses in place. Yes, number one is the priority of intimacy and communion with the Lord. Jesus said to Mary and Martha at Martha's critical statement concerning Mary and Jesus that Mary was not doing enough to help in the ministry of service. Jesus said to her, only one thing is necessary, Martha, and Mary has chosen the better part. That she hears the word of the Lord. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Now, folks, that's not saying that ministry is not important. What that is saying is that ministry effectiveness is dependent upon the consuming commitment that we have to the priority of life being to hear, read, and listen to the Lord, to feed upon His word in prayer and the word. That is the key to life. And it was seen with Mary. Well, certainly, I'm sure Martha fixed a good meal. I don't have the slightest idea what she did in that meal. I don't know what was fixed. But the Lord said what Mary has chosen is the better part. And then later, the Lord said she will be spoken of throughout the ages. For this one who took the time to sit at Jesus' feet to learn of Him and speak to Him would soon, in just a few weeks, sit back at His feet and anoint His feet and prepare Him for His burial, that she would be ready for ministry, a ministry that lasts for eternity. So the second thing is that, so you've got an organizing priority that God's Word and prayer are a priority in our life. Then the second yes is a consuming passion. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What is man's primary purpose? Man's purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And the more I glorify Him, the more I'll enjoy Him. And the more I enjoy Him, I will glorify Him. Now, how can I enjoy Him? Because I meet Him in the Word. I meet Him in life. I take His word into my heart that I might live my life. So the priority feeds the passion. I don't know how to glorify God and enjoy Him until I am in the word of the Lord by the Spirit of God. And prayer and in the word then sets me up for the number one focus of my life, whether eating or drinking or whatsoever I do, to glorify God and certainly to enjoy Him forever. The third thing that we notice is simplicity factor number three is the organizing paradigm. The organizing paradigm of life is to follow Jesus, His personal formation. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. So the discipline of God's grace brings us to intellectual growth in the Lord. It brings us to physical discipline. It brings us to spiritual discipline to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We grow in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. Now, remember, for most of us, the discipline disciplines of life have very, now those people that were up here behind me, they're still growing in stature. The discipline, the physical disciplines of life for you and me is to quit growing in stature, because you're not growing in stature. We're not growing up, we're growing out. And so we want to bring the discipline of the Lord so that our bodies are ready to serve the Lord. That now we come to a fourth factor, and that is what I've called the organizing divine present of the Lord for the simple life. What is the divine present? You know, the English language is tough. For instance, the word produce. Here's a sentence for you. The farmer had a farm in which he would produce produce. Spelled the same way. Produce, produce. The English language, I think I'd rather learn Korean than the English language. It's amazing how tough it is. Well, here's one, present. When I say the divine present, I'm not talking about that God has shown up, although he does show up in your life. I'm not talking about present that way. And I'm not talking about present in the sense of putting something forward. I'm talking about a present in terms of a gift. The Lord one day came upon a man and he healed him. It was on the Sabbath. And the ire of the Pharisees came against him because he dared work on the Sabbath. And Jesus then explained to them two things. One is that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was only there because of him. And then he said this, I did not make man for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for the man. God has given us a gift that very few of us use, the Lord's Day. He makes extraordinary promises. And he said, I didn't make you to fill up the Lord's Day. I made the Lord's Day as a gift for you. The other day I was reading a book that was given to me about a guy that's a life coach. And this guy is a life coach and he has a system. His system is this. His system is that you work 3 days and then you take a day off, or at least a half a day off. And then you can work another 3 days and then you take a whole day off. And it's absolutely amazing that people pay this guy $2,000 an hour, and all they had to do is read that in the Bible. So all they had to do is read it in the Bible. He has made this amazing discovery that you are much more effective when you take the time for rest and renewal on a regular basis. God made you in his image. And God has made you in his image with the commitment that he has prepared something for you called the Lord's Day. Effective lives result when God's gift for his people, the Sabbath, is, and let me use the language of the Bible, is observed with delight. Effective lives result when God's gift for his people, the Sabbath, is observed with delight. The Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I realize there's some controversy around this matter of what is the Sabbath and what is the Sabbath in the New Testament, and is there a commandment called remember the Sabbath in the New Testament? And if it's not repeated in the New Testament, we have people who have a system of theology that tell us that nothing in the Old Testament is valid unless it is repeated in the New Testament, when in reality, it's the exact opposite in the Bible. Everything in God's Word is valid unless a subsequent covenant alters it or abrogates it. Everything is valid unless a subsequent covenant alters it and abrogates it. It is the Word of the Lord. Now, the question is what is the New Testament teaching on what became known as the Lord's Day, as the quote, I'm going to take you to it later, Isaiah 58 becomes the shorthand for the Christian Sabbath. So what I'd like to do is to walk you through the progress of the biblical doctrine of the Sabbath from the creation Sabbath to the ceremonial Sabbath to the Christian Sabbath. Let's take the first one, the creation Sabbath. Look in Exodus chapter 20. In the giving of the Ten Commandments, notice in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy means unique, set apart, peculiar, distinctive. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In other words, this day belongs to Him in a very special way. Let me give you an analysis. The tithe. Do you ever hear Bruce in the morning when he leads us in worship? He said, let's bring to God what? His tithe and our offerings. In other words, the 10% God has entrusted to me, and that's His. Now, in a real sense, how much of my income does God own? All of it. But one of the ways I tell God He owns it all is setting aside the first, the tenth, using it in worship and making a declaration that I trust Him. And so I bring it in worship and I tell Him that I trust Him and that it all belongs to Him. And here's the first part to point it out. Sabbath operates the same way. How many of my days belong to the Lord every week? All of them. But there is a special way in which I tell God and prepare myself for all 6 days of labor by taking a seventh one and not using it even for the valid things God has called me to, and use it for that which is holy, to draw close to Him with my family and the family of God. Observe the Sabbath, set it aside, declare it as holy, as belonging unto the Lord. It's a special sense. All my days belong to the Lord, but this belongs in a special way to the Lord. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is with you in your gates. For in 6 days, he said, now what is the reason for this? For in 6 days, goes back to creation, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God, the omnipotent one in all of His power, lays a pattern before us in creation. And in that creation, He lays out for us 6 days labor, seventh day rest. And then He makes us in His image. And then His law says to us, because you are made in my image, I have made you to live a certain way. And the way I have made you to live is 6-1. 6-1. 6-1. That's the way I made you to live. If you avoid that pattern of life, you can break God's law, but God's law will end up breaking you. That, to break that law will have consequences just as breaking the law of thou shalt not commit adultery. It will have consequences in your life. Just as breaking the law to honor your father and mother will have consequences in your life. I have made you to live a certain way. If you choose in autonomy to negate my law. Now again, folks, listen. I need to say it so we make it clear. We're not under the law to be saved. The law brings us to the Savior. But when you get the Savior, you get a new heart. And guess what's written on that new heart? The law of God. And it's not 9 commandments that are written on, is written on that new heart. It's 10 commandments that's written on that new heart. And there is a sense when God has saved us, we know that there is a pattern of life that I've been restored to, that God has now called me to. And it is that pattern of life that if I avoid it and say no to the pattern God has established in His own declaration before me and then making me in His image, than if I was not, let me put it this way. I am not created to go 7 days a week full bore. God didn't make me that way. He made me 6-1. 6-1. That there is to be a Sabbath cycle in my life. Well, the Sabbath now also develops into something that we might rightly call in the Old Covenant, this creation Sabbath was developed in order to teach us things about salvation and eternity. And so a ceremonial Sabbath was developed in the Old Covenant. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy. Deutero means second. Nomos means law. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And the law is repeated. All 10 commandments are present. But it's interesting how the commandment of remember the Sabbath day is put before us. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that made your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were... Now, what's the basis of this commandment in Deuteronomy? Now, watch. What was the basis in Exodus 20? Why were we called to remember the Sabbath? Because of creation. But now watch. Deuteronomy says, observe the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath. Why? You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God delivered you. He brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, redemption. That the Sabbath, creation Sabbath, has taken on a significance in the Old Covenant to point us to our need of resting in a Savior. That the Sabbath is pointing us to a Messiah. The Sabbath is pointing us to a Savior. And as it points us to a Savior, it is that which then takes on a whole new dynamic. So the ceremonial Sabbath has three pieces to it in the Old Testament. The first is the Sabbath as a sign of a Savior. Take your Bibles and see it as a sign in the covenant. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, the Lord gives some instructions about the Sabbath. Look at verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord your God, sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. You think God takes this matter of the Sabbath pretty seriously? Now, understand, we move to the new covenant and how this is dealt with, but notice the seriousness with this that's called a sign of the covenant. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He takes the creation Sabbath and the ceremonial Sabbath, and he says, now I want you to know that this is a sign that's pointing to a redemption, to a Savior, a covenant blessing to give you eternal rest. It's a sign for that purpose. Secondly, the second thing, the Sabbath is not only a sign for the Savior, but the Sabbath is a sign of salvation. What did Jesus see? Look at the Sabbath language that Jesus uses, who's the Lord of the Sabbath. Remember Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all of you that are what? Weary and heavy laden. I will give you what? Rest. The Lord of the Sabbath is our rest. It is in Him that we rest and know that our salvation is sure. And the third thing about the ceremonial Sabbath is that it is a sign of the consummation, the eternal rest that we will enter into. The joy of the new heavens and the new earth, where we rest in the presence of the Lord, we with Him and Him with us for all eternity. Now, therefore, because it's a sign, there became a rather interesting development of the Sabbath. So there was a Sabbath day each week. Then there was a Sabbath year every 7 years. Then there was a Sabbath year of the Sabbath years every 50th year. So you'd have the Sabbath day, you'd have a Sabbath year, and then the Sabbath of the Sabbath years was the year of Jubilee, which was the 50th year. So when you got to the 49th year, the 49th and the 50th year were Jubilees. And one of the things that the people of Israel were to do to show God that they trusted in Him is on the Sabbath year, they were not to put the land to work, but they were to give it rest.
The Sabbath is God's gift to help us attain a life of biblical simplicity, and we must appreciate its great value to us and recover its significance and sanctity for our lives today. Join us again next time as we continue in our series, The Simplicity of the Christian Life. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Simplicity Factor Number 4, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life, or simply ask for message number 10356. Again, that's message number 10356. We do request $5 when you request today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Pastor teacher Harry Reeder says of the Apostles' Creed, it is a gift of God's providence to His church, containing essential foundations of the faith once for all delivered to the saints as an instrument of discipleship, confession, and unity. In a nutshell, it summarizes in three concise sentences what the Christian believes. Harry has developed an in-depth 20-part series on the Apostles' Creed that every believer ought to have as a part of their personal study. Know the Apostles' Creed, and you will always be able to share what you believe. You can obtain the entire series by going to briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. Again, that's briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. We hope that In Perspective is encouraging you in your walk with Christ. We would love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.